Okay, we're beginning here on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, 10 lines down. Tano, Shumaze, Enu Mazeh LaParochet, El Keneged HaParochet. When he does the sprinkling of the dam, he does it not on the parochet itself, El Keneged HaParochet, but rather opposite the parochet, meaning on the ground in front of the parochet. Now, there is a girsa here in the Gemara that says, Vim Nagu Nagu. We'll discuss that later, why that's important. The next part of the Gemara has numerous questions and numerous issues with it. I'm going to read through the whole Gemara, and then we'll come back and discuss all the issues that come up in the Rishonim and Achronim regarding this sugya. Amar Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Yossi says, Ani ratia b'Romi. I saw the parochet when I was in Rome. Vayu aleh kamati pei damim. And I saw that they had sprinkling of dam on it, shel par v'sayir shel Yom HaKippurim. And I knew that those were the blood of the par and sayir of Yom HaKippurim. Mar says, V'dilma paralam davar shel tzibur v'sayir v'rezar havu. How do you know that it was the par and sayir of Yom Kippur? Maybe it was the par and the Seir of the Helam Davar Shel Tzibor and of Vodah Zarah, which also have matnot dam that are done in the Heichal. So the Gemara says, the Chaza Davide Kisidran. He saw they were done in order or some sort of order. V'tana Nami. Gabe Paralam Davar Shel Tzibor. We have a Mishnah by Paralam Davar Shel Tzibor. Ki Hai Gavna. Similarly, Keshuma Zeh Lo Yenugim BaParochet. When they did the sprinkling, they didn't touch the parochet. V'im Nagu Nagu. If it happened to hit it, then it's okay. Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi Ani Aritia Biromi. I saw the parochet in Rome. Vayu Aleh Kama Tipei Damim Shel Paralam Davar Shel Tzibor V'Sirei Avodah Zarah. And I saw in it the drops of blood from the Paralam Davar Shel Tzibor V'Sirei Avodah Zarah. Mar says, V'Dilma Par V'Sirei Shel Yom HaKippurim Ninhu. How did he know it was the Paralam Davar Shel Tzibor and the Sirei Avodah Zarah? How could he know it's not the Par and Sirei of Yom Kippur? The Chazuna Udavid Shaloki Sidran, because they were not done in order. Right, so let's take this piece by piece. First of all, what was Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi doing in Rome? That we learn from a story in Me'ilah. The Gemara Me'ilah tells us that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, along with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, go to Rome in order to petition before the Caesar to remove some of the gzeirot on the Jews. When they get there, they bump into the Caesar's daughter who's possessed by a demon, and they get the information ahead of time which demon it is, and they're able to exorcise the demon from this daughter of the Caesar. Because of that, they're rewarded with going into the treasuries, the storage areas of the Roman government, of the Roman Caesar, and they go in there to rip up the gzeirot that were against the Jews. While they're in there, they also happen to bump into the parochet. Rashi over here quotes from Avot to Rabbi Natan that they actually saw all of the Klei HaMikdash that were housed there from the time of the Churban. Tosafot already raises the issue, when did this happen? Is this from Churban Bayit Rishon or Churban Bayit Sheni? Obviously it would make more sense if it was Churban Bayit Sheni, because we're talking about the Romans. But the issue is that there was no parochet in Bayit Rishon, and there was no Parhelam Dover Shel Tzibor in Bayit Sheni. So that's what Tosafot has to reconcile. So Tosafot actually answers in both directions. He says, maybe this is from Bayit Rishon. And as we've said numerous times here, that in Bayit Rishon, even though there was a wall that stood between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodeshim, the doorway from the Kodesh to the Kodesh Kodeshim also had a parochet on it. And that's the parochet that he's speaking about. Okay, what was it doing in Rome? That came from Koresh when he gave back all the Kelim to the Jews to build the Bayit Sheni. He gave them his back. They had it in storage. And when the Romans came, they also took it along with the rest of the Shalal. And that's how it ends up in Rome. The other answer he gives is that it's in Bayit Sheni. And when the Gemara says there was no par in Bayit Sheni, that was the Par Kohen Mashiach. That's the only thing that's mentioned there in the Gemara. Not the Paralam Davar Shel Tzibor, and actually the Paralam Davar Shel Tzibor actually did take place even in Bayit Sheni. And therefore, this is speaking about Bayit Sheni. That's number one. Number two is, we have to deal with the fact that there were drops of blood on the parochet. We know from the Mishnayot and other places that they used to replace the parochet every year. Number two is, they used to wash the parochet. They used to dip it into the mikveh. So you have to say here that they didn't have enough money, or they weren't able to switch out the parochet, and this is the original parochet, or they didn't have time to launder it because of what was going on inside of Yerushalayim, therefore it remained there for a number of years, or they took this out of storage, meaning that this was one of the parochot that was from early years that was taken out of storage. The next thing we have to discuss is, what is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi's opinion vis-a-vis our Gemara? Over here he says that there's dam on the parochet. Is that because he argues with what our Gemara says, that the matnot dam are done lifnei ha-parochet, and he thinks that they are done directly on the parochet? That seems to be the position of the Tosfot Yishanim. Rashi over here says that they were done kimatzlif, they were done kisidran. He knew that it was for Yom HaKippurim, they were done in order. Now this is Rashi the Shitato, who says that when you do achat amalo and sheva lamato, that means you do one further away, and then the next successive seven have to be in order closer and closer to you. They're done in a direct line. The Tosfot Yishanim says that's not the case, but rather you do one the malo, and then the remaining seven have to be below the first one, but they don't have to be in order. They can be spread out afterwards. So he disagrees with Rashi's assessment of what matzlif means. In addition to that, what happened here? Did the dam spill onto the parochet? He agrees with the chachamim over here, and therefore the matnot dam were done on the ground, and they just splashed up onto the parochet. The obvious problem with that is, how do you have then kesidram? And that's what the Tosfot Yishanim raises. He says, Shukulam lo ayunogim kemen shalom mitkavenose. He wasn't doing this intentionally, then not all of them would have ended up on the parochet. It says they wouldn't have all ended up on the parochet, it would not have been in a line or any clear order that he could have determined. So from the Tosfot Yishanim, it seems like it was done intentionally on the parochet, and that seems to be from Rashi as well, who says it's kematzlif, that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi disagrees with our Gemara, or the Tana Kama, who says that you have to do the matnot dam on the ground and not on the parochet. And Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi is disagreeing. The Ritva and others suggest, no, that the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, and this all happened shalom mitkaven. It happened unintentionally, or it happened intentionally, meaning a Kohen did it by accident. A Kohen Gadol did it by accident in this way, and then had to repeat the matnot dam in order to do it correctly, or he just did it wrong one year, and the next year they did it right. But those are different ways to reconcile about how the dam gets onto the parochet, and whether Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi is arguing on the position of our Gemara or not. The next thing we have to determine is what's the difference between the Parim Dover Shel Tzibor and the Parim Yom HaKippurim, that they have different views as to how the blood ended up on the parochet. So the answer to that might be that by the Parim Dover Shel Tzibor, you only Sheva Hazaot, only seven. Whereas by Yom HaKippurim, there's Achat Namalo and Sheva Lamato. So that would be one distinction, because Sidran could be that they're 8 versus 7, and that could have been the differentiating factor. The other possibility is that the difference comes from where the Hazot are done from. We're going to learn in tomorrow's daf that the Hazot of Yom HaKippurim are done from up close by the Parochet, whereas the Hazot Adam that are done for the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor and Sira Bodeh Zarah are done from the other side of the Mizbech HaZahav. You have to do it from in front of the Mizbech HaZahav all the way to the Parochet. So over there, it's less likely that they're going to land in any Seder or order, and it'll be more of a splashing type of experience rather than a more directed experience that you had when you did it with the Parim Yom HaKippurim. So because of that, the differentiation is coming here as to whether it ends up on the parochet or not. Now, I mentioned before that the Parim Dover Shel Tzibor here says, Im Nagu Nagu. If by accident they land up on the parochet, it's fine. We don't have that girsa with regards to Yom HaKippurim. The question is, what does that mean? So there are different opinions about how to deal with that. And those differences in opinions actually relate to how we view Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi vis-a-vis the rest of the Gemara. The Siach Yitzchak, in discussing this, says at first, maybe the same thing applies. And especially if we have the alternative Girsa, the same thing would apply by Yom HaKippurim and Nagu Nagu. If they happen to land on the parochet, it's fine. Then that would answer a lot of our questions here. Why was there blood on the parochet? Because if it happens to land there, it's okay. And so therefore, that's why Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi saw it. And he's not necessarily arguing on our Gemara. Afterwards, he says that it seems from the Gemara Bavli here that it's ma'akev, that you have to do it lifnei parochet and not on the parochet itself. If that's the case, whatever's happening here with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi has to disagree or be different than what we saw there. And therefore, it's not true that im nagu nagu applies to Yom HaKippurim, even though the Gemara seems to say by the parhelam davar shel tzibor, it may not apply to parsi Yom HaKippurim because it seems to be ma'akev that you have to get it onto the ground. And that would open up the question as to why was there dam there, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. Must be that he argues on the Gemara here and disagrees and says it does go on the parochet. The Gvura Dari actually tries to distinguish between the Par Olam Dover Shel Tzibor and the Par of Yom HaKippurim. He says, regards the Par of Yom HaKippurim, it's actually ma'akev that it doesn't land on the parochet. Because over there it says it has to be done in the Kodesh, in the Heichal, in the Ohel Moed, and not in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Whereas for the Par Olam Dover Shel Tzibor, it never mentions that it has to be done in the Ohel Moed. It simply has to be done on the parochet. So now with regards to the parochet we discussed before, we don't know exactly what the status of this parochet is. Is it the Kodesh or the Kodesh HaKodeshim? For Yom HaKippurim, it must be in the Kodesh. Therefore, if you get it to the parochet, you have a problem because it might be the Kodesh HaKodeshim already, and that wouldn't work. Whereas for the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor, the only requirement is it gets to the parochet. If it gets to the parochet, then it's fine. And that's why if it touches it, it's okay. So because of that, the Gvura Dari says that Im Nagu Nagu only applies to Parim Dover Shel Tzibor and not Shel Par Shel Yom HaKippurim. But once again, according to the Gvura Dari, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi has to explain why there's dam on this parochet. So either he's cholek on our Gemara, or it's splashed unintentionally. But again, if it's splashed unintentionally to say kisidran, that they're in order, as the Tosfot Yishanim points out, that's very difficult because you wouldn't get it in such a straight line if it was done unintentionally, or you wouldn't get 8 instead of 7. all of these distinctions that we drew before wouldn't be possible if it was done unintentionally. The only way you can explain it maybe is that someone made a mistake 1 year, and that's what he's seeing on the parochet. Okay, now we're going to move on in the Gemara. Gemara says, Nitarvo lo damim bidamim. If the blood got mixed up, Rashi over here claims this happened. Kon kodem shenatan bifnim. Klum. It's before he's done any of the matnot dam. The par and the seir get mixed up before he's done the matnot, even in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. The Tosfot Yishanim disagrees and says that can't be possible because we learned before from Ula that the din is that you have to do the dam par before you shech the seir. If the case is that he didn't do any of the matnot dam, that means that he shechted the seir before the matnot par, and that's ma'akev, and it wouldn't work. So he says we're talking about here the matnot in the Eichal, after he's already done the dam par at least, but we're probably talking about the matnot ha-heichal, as opposed to what Rashi says that it was talking about the matnot in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. The damim got mixed together. Amar Rava, notena chat namala, v'shev lamata, v'olei lekan ulekan. Does one up, seven down, and it covers both of them. Through that dam, it's mixed, the seir and the par. So he gets a chat namala, shev lamata, and he covers both what he needs to do with the par and the seir. Amruach made the Rabbi Yirmiyah, they said over what Rava said in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah in Eretz Yisrael, Amar, Bavlai, Tipshai, you foolish Babylonians, Mishum de Dari Be'ara de Chashocha, since you live in the land of darkness, whether that's literally because they lived in a plain or a valley, or because they don't have the insights of Torah that they have in Eretz Yisrael, Amrei Shmaita de Mechashkan, so therefore you say over things that make no sense. Hakoyoyiv the Malo de Seir, Mikami Mato de Par. If you do that, then the Chat Malo is working both for the Par and the Seir. That's the case. He's done the chat, the mala of the seir, before he's doing the mata of the par. He's doing it out of order. Out of order, v'atara amra. V'chila mechaperet ha-kodesh. Chila dama par. V'achaka chila dama seir. First complete the entire matanot of the par. And then afterwards you do all the matanot of the seir. So you can't have it that you do the mala of one, then the mala of the next, then the mata of one, and then the mata of the next. They have to be done completely the par, and then completely the seir. So what you're saying makes no sense based on the pasuk of v'chila mechaper et ha-kodesh ela. So what should he do? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah notena chatamala v'shev lamata l'shem par. He does one up and seven down for the par. V'chozer v'notena chatamala v'shev lamata l'shem seir. And then he repeats that process, chatamala and shev lamata for the seir. Now Gemara gives a new case, another case. Nitarvu lo damim b'damim b'matnot acharonot. He gets the blood mixed up in the latter matanot. So here we're talking about, after he's done achat lamalo of the par. He's already done one lamalo of the par, and now he gets them mixed up in the heichal, after he's done the matnot par. What should he do at this point in time? So sabar Rav Papa, kamei de Rav Papa, the Talmud of Rav says, look, you know, I think this is what we'll do. Sabar the Meimar, notein sheva lamato l'shem par, you'll do seven down below for the par, or l'shem seir, and cover the seir as well. Chozer natan achat lamalo l'shem seir, and then do the one that you need to do up for the seir that was missing. Amalei Rav, ad hashtag rulan tipshai. Until now they called us fools. V'hasha tipshai de tipshai. Now they're called super fools based on what you're saying. Dekama gamrinon lohu v'lo gamiri. Because they're gamrinon lohu, we taught them already that this is a problem. V'lo gamiri, and they don't get it straight. They're trying to do the same thing again with this new answer. V'haka yov mato de seir mikame malo de seir. Because then you're going to have it out of order. You're going to end up doing the mato de seir before you do the malo of seir, and that's a problem. Torah says, do the achat the malo before the mato, and that's me'akev. Hello, I'm a Rova. Rova got the lesson correct, and he says, no ten sheva la mato de shem par. He does the sheva la mato de shem par. V'chozer no ten achat the malo v'sheva la mato de shem seir. So he learned from Rabbi Yirmiyah's answer how to solve this problem, and to do it in this manner so that it is not a problem of doing the seir before the par, or the malo of the seir after the mato of the seir. Tosafot does ask over here, why do we need v'chila mechaper et ha-kodesh at all? The Torah says, chuka, that everything has to be in order over here, and we know that in the Torah it says the dama par before the dama seir. So Tosafot suggests that maybe chuka would only apply if we did the entirety of the seir before the par. But if we just slipped in one of the matnot of seir before we finished off the par, maybe that would be okay. So along comes v'chila mechaper et ha-kodesh to tell us, no, you have to complete the entirety of the par, and then finish off the entirety of the seir. Okay, now the Gemara moves on to another question, which is, Nitarvalo kosot bikosot. He has different kosot that got mixed together. For instance, a kos that has the dam ha-seir in it, and he has a kos that has the dam ha-par in it. He doesn't know which one is which. So then what should he do? Notein v'chozer v'notein v'chozer v'notein shlosha pi'amim. He does it three times in order to ensure that you capture the right order here. Rashi over here again claims that this is even the matnot of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and then in the Heichal, Tosafot over here takes issue with Rashi and says that can't be possible because then you might have the problem of the Dama Par not being done before the Shechita Taseir, like Ula before, and therefore he says it's only applying to the Eichal, similar to what the Tosafot Yishanim said in that previous Gemara. So now you have these two chosot. What should he do? He takes one, does the matnot dam for it. Then he takes the second one, does the matnot dam. He goes back to number one again and does the matnot dam again. Because the mimon of shach he's covered. If the first one is the par and the second one is the seir, he did it in order. If the first one is the seir and then the second one is the par, then the first one he did in seir is out of order. So that won't count. Then the second one he does is the par. And then again, he'll do the first one again. It'll be the seir after the par. So the first matnot won't count. 2 and 3 will be the right order. In the other scenario, it was 1 and 2 that were the right order, and 3 won't count. So that's how we solve the problem. Mixata damim nitar v'lo, or mixata damim lo nitar v'lo. If a portion of the dam got mixed, and a portion of it did not get mixed. So here you have the dam asir alone, dam afar alone, he knows which is which, but he also has a third container that has them mixed together. Shita ki yahiv mi vide'ein yahiv. Then when he gives it, he puts it from the one that is not mixed. That's clear, you'll do it from the dam afar alone and dam asir alone. Miuhanach shiraim havu. My question is, the dam that's found in the mixed bucket, what is its status? Is it shiraim for the yisod azle, and therefore it's shayiri adam? The leftovers of the dam got put into the yisod amizbeach because they could have been used for avoda. Since they weren't, the remainder goes on to the yisod. Odilma dechuyin havu, or maybe they're totally excluded, meaning that they're a dam that is pasul vazle dama, and then they get poured into the water channel in the mikdash, which is basically the sewer line, and they get dumped out. So Amar Rav Papa, Afilu Laman Damar Ko Sechad Osecha V'Reo Shirayim. This is coming up in a bright. A bright is going to tell us coming up that if you have a Korban Chatat, where you collect the dam in four separate kosot, and then you go ahead and sprinkle one of the matanot from each of the kosot, everybody agrees there that the kosot, all of them become Shirayim, and they go to the Yisod. The question comes up, if you sprinkle from one of those cups all four of the matanot you need for the Chatat, what is the status of the remaining three cups? It's a machloket there. Whether the remaining three cups are considered to be shiraim and they go to the yisod, or the remaining three cups are considered to be psulim and they go into the yama. So what Rav Papa suggests over here is, even according to the one who says there, that kos echadu sechaviro shiraim, that one kos, if you sprinkle all four of them from that single kos, the remainder are shiraim, hani mehechidi by the meitav matzi haif. That's because all four kosot were ra'ui to do the matnot dam. He just picked one of them out of the four to do it. Of a high, di by the meitav lo matzi haif. In this case, where if he chose to do the matnot dam out of the mixed, he can't, lo, he can't do it, and therefore it's not shiraim, it's dachui, and it goes into the sewer line. Amalei Rav Huna, Rei Rav Yeshua, Rav Papa, Ad Rabo, just the opposite. I disagree with your logic. The logic should be just the reverse. Afilu mandamar ko secharu sechaviru dachui, the mandamar coming up in the bright that says that when you put all four sprinklings of the chatat, hachitzona, from the single cup, the remaining cups are considered to be dachui and pasul. Over there is when he pushed it away intentionally, because by picking to do all the matnot from a single cup, by definition, he pushed away the other three cups, because he could have used them, and since he didn't use them, that's called dachui. Over here, the reason he can't utilize the mix here is not because he wants to push it away or he has a choice to use it, it's simply because it's not functional. It's mixed, and therefore it's not the right way to do it. Therefore, lo, and it becomes shirayim, and it's not called dachui over here. Titanya. And here is this machloket that they both quoted over here to extend the logic to our case over here, which is this machloket of whether dam that is left over is considered to be shiraim or dapui. This braita says, the malahu omer, above it says, by the seir of the nasi, it says, v'tamo yishpoch. It says that the remainder of the dam will be poured out. The matahu omer, lower down, meaning in the case of the chatat of the yachid, for a regular person, it says, v'tkol dama yishpoch. All the blood you pour out. So in one case it says the dam, in the other case it says all the dam. How do I reconcile between these two psukim? In one case I say all the dam goes to the yisod, all the remaining dam. In one case I say the dam goes to the yisod. So the Tanakhama says, minayin the chatat shikibel dama barba kosot. That person accepted or did kabbalat the dam from a chatat in four different cups. Natan mizeachat to mizeachat, and he takes one hazaah from each one of them. He does one matana on the karanot. He has to do all four karanot. He takes one cup, does one karen, second cup, second karen, so on and so forth. Shukulam nishpachim the yisod. They're all considered to be shiraim and they get poured to the yisod. Tamalomar vet kol dama yishpoch. All the blood goes into the yisod. Yochal afil natan arba matanot meachat mehem. You would think that's also true when he did all four matanot from one cup and the other three cups he didn't use at all. You would have to pour them into the yisod. Tamalomar. Not coal, but rather just the blood that was used gets poured into the yisod. So that's the distinction that is being drawn here. Hu nishpach the yisod, ve nishpachim the amah. It goes into the yisod, and the remaining three cups get poured into the sewer line. That is the Tanakhama's position. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, minayin the chatat, shikibel dama, be arba kosot. How do you know that in a case where you had the Kabbalat Adam in four different cups, when Natan Arba Matanot Me'achad Me'em, he did all four matanot from one of them. Shukulam nishpachim liyisod. All of them go to the yisod afterwards. They're all considered to be shirayim. Tamalomer vet kol dama yishpoch. All the blood goes into the yisod, no matter what. So here, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says that all the blood goes and it's all considered to be shirayim. Where it says, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, hakti vetamo yishpoch. What does he do with the other pasuk that the Tanakami used, which says it's not all the blood, but only some of the blood goes to the yisod? Ravashi, the mute shirayim shebetzavar b'meiva. That comes to exclude the blood that's left in the neck of the animal. Only blood that made it into the kli sharet, that made it into the kabbalah, it has, or is considered to be shirayim. That which is left in the neck of the animal, any blood that's residual there, that's not considered to be shirayim, and therefore it does not need to be put into the yisod. So here we have a fundamental machloket about what is considered to be shirayim. According to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, anything that was ra'oi to go on the Mizbeach, even if it was not utilized at all for the Mizbeach, that goes to the Yisod. Whereas the Tanakhama believes only something that was utilized towards Matnot Mizbeach becomes Shirayim and has to be put in the Yisod. If it was not utilized for Matnot HaMizbeach, then it goes to the sewer line and not to the Yisod HaMizbeach. That difference comes up when you do the Kabbalat Adam in four cups. And you do all four matanot of the chatat from one of those four cups. What do you do with the residual three? According to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, you pour it into the yisod. According to the Tanakhama, you pour it out into the sewer. That now relates to what we saw above, the machloka between Rav Papa and Rav Huna. Rav Papa said, over there by the chatat, since all of them are usable, they all become shirayim according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. But over here, the mix between the Dama Par and the Dama Seir is not usable, so it will not become shirayim. On the other hand, Rav Huna Brei, the Rabbi Yeshua, says, no, the logic is just the opposite. Even according to the Tanakhama over here, who says that when you do from one cup, the other three are considered to be dechuyim, that's because you had a choice. You could have used all four cups. Instead, you used one of them. So you pushed away the other three cups. They become dechuy. They can become knocked off, and they go into the sewer. On the other hand here, you didn't have a choice to use the mix because you couldn't utilize the mix. You have to use the separate ones. And since you were not medached b'yadayim, it becomes a part of the shirayim of the dam because you had no choice but to use the separate utensils that had the dam apart and dam tzair in it. And therefore, even according to the Tanakhama over here, you would pour the remainder of the blood, even the mix, into the yisod. Okay, we'll stop over here.